This is an MUT Radio podcast.
On MUT Radio, Alex Warren, Ordinary, and before that one, Shawn Mendes, Heart of Gold, and Drake One Dance. It's taking us to exactly just 25 minutes before the top of the hour. And as promised, I did tell you earlier on, we will have an interview with Prof. Mamogeti Mapakeng. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. She's going to correct me if I have not.
You got it right.
Perfect. But yes, we do have her right here in studio. I'm just going to quickly welcome you, Prof, to MUT Radio.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much for inviting me. I love the studio. It looks amazing.
Yes, thank you very much. We try. Yes, we try. So, Prof, I'm not going to read in too much because I want you to tell us more about what you do. You work more with the youth. So tell us more about that.
Okay, so I love young people. Anyone who knows me will know that I advocate for young people. I love their exuberance, even though sometimes they get into trouble for it. I love it. That's what it means to be young. And so I work with young people on a variety of projects. And at the moment, I'm advocating for AI fluency because I believe that it's important for everyone to become fluent in artificial intelligence. And so I decided I must go to my constituency, which is young people, and get them to be fluent, because AI fluency will create opportunities for our young people, opportunities for jobs, opportunities to be an entrepreneur, but also opportunities to be much more efficient in whatever you do. So, and that's why I'm here today at MUT to get more of the MUT students becoming AI fluent. And I can tell you later about the free AI fluency course that we are offering together with NetCampus that is Microsoft accredited.
Wow, that is amazing. So if I may ask, why AI? There are a lot of things that you could engage the youth in. Why choose AI?
Because today's world is dominated by AI. And just like any fluency, if you don't have fluency, for example, in a language that's dominant, then you don't have access to a whole lot of things, a whole lot of social goods that you want access to. AI is the same. I went for AI because AI is here, it's not going away, and there are so many messages about AI. Some of them, you know, instilling fear in people that whatever they are studying, they are going to be useless. And my message has always been that AI is not here to replace us, but it's actually here to make our work better. So I advocate for the combination of human and AI to actually become more productive and more effective. So I'm here because I also don't like the idea that our young people stay unemployed, stay without opportunities. Because in my view, AI creates opportunities, not only in South Africa, but opportunities that are worldwide. You can be sitting here in South Africa, you can run your AI office and offer services to clients all over the world, from Dublin to Cambodia to Cameroon to Egypt to Haiti, everywhere you could be working for them using AI tools being here in South Africa. And it's important that our young people get to know about that.
Wow, that is amazing. And still speaking of AI fluency, AI also assists in learning because we have to admit it also assists in learning. So do you think the traditional method of learning are maybe falling behind?
You know, AI assists in learning and in teaching. So in fact, what AI can help teachers and lecturers at universities, rather than when you teach to just assume that students must fail or whatever, you can actually use predictive AI to help you give individualized support for each student. Even if you have 1,500 students in your class, predictive AI can help you tailor make support for each one of them. And that's the beauty of it. So traditional methods, of course, are out, because with AI, you can have AI as a teaching partner, or you can some days as a lecturer or a teacher have AI as one of the students in class. In fact, you can give your students an assignment where they have to engage with an AI model. You can ask them to choose the AI model that they want to engage with, and then you give them a question. You can say, set up a debate with an AI tool of your choice, and then write a report on the debate. You can give them the topic of the debate, and they can debate with the AI tool. Rather than treating the AI tool as the enemy or something that students should never use, you should bring it in, because you can't treat it as something that students should never use, because in the world of work, AI is used. Executives use it. Managers use it. Everyone uses it. So any university that says that expels students for using AI is backward. That university must get on with the program. They should actually say to students, own up when you use AI. Just like you reference when you quote, you use a book or a journal article, you reference that you've used that. So we've got to get into the culture of referencing the AI tools that we're using and indicating the prompts that we gave them. But in fact, teachers and lecturers and academics can start giving tests and exams where students can use AI, but it's the way you structure the questions that is important.
Prof, you have this all figured out. So this is why I want us to get, because of time, I want us to get to your online course. What is happening there?
Yeah. So the online course is an AI fluency online course. It is free. It's offered by NetCampus and it's accredited by Microsoft. It's 6 hours. We'll publish a QR code on your YouTube channel so that people can get it. Otherwise, people can go to my social media pages on my bio. The link is there. You just register. It takes 1 minute to register. Where it says reference, just write Prof. Pakeng. And after you register, you get an email in your mailbox. It will tell you, welcome you, and tell you where to click to start the course. And then you decide whether you do 6 hours all at once, or you do 1 hour per day, 2 hour per day, or 30 minutes per day, whatever suits you. When you finish with the 6 hours, you write a multiple choice exam. When you pass the exam, you get an AI fluency certificate, a Microsoft AI fluency certificate. Now, Microsoft is a multinational company. So wherever you go in the world, that certificate will be recognized. You can use that certificate to flex on LinkedIn, or when you apply for a job, you put it in, because what you're doing with the certificate is actually evidence that you have done this course and you are fluent in it. And what that does, it puts you ahead of the queue. Okay, and people have said to me, so what's in this course? How is it different? So in this course, many people are using AI tools. Of course, some people, as I've been going around on this tour, national tour, the three AI tools that people mention are ChatGPT, Meta, and Grok, because those are easily accessible. Sometimes people also mention DeepSeek, but there are lots more that's out there. This AI fluency course will introduce you to the other AI tools that you can use. It will then teach you how to use them, because in fact, to make the most of the AI tools, you need to understand what we call prompt engineering, how you prompt the AI tool. The way you prompt actually dictates the responses that you get. If you don't know how to prompt and you prompt broadly or just in J, you might get information that's not relevant, and then you've got to prompt again and again. The course has got a section on prompt engineering. The course will also help you to evaluate the content that you get from the AI tool. When ChatGPT gives you information or Copilot gives you information, how do you know whether it's correct or not? How do you evaluate? Because sometimes the AI tool gets things wrong. I'm sure you've heard about cases where a lawyer used an AI tool and then they gave a wrong cases. They were referring to cases that don't exist. But if you don't know how to evaluate the information, you can end up doing that and you can end up embarrassing yourself. That lawyer actually was struck off the roll, which is really serious. But if you do this AI fluency course, it teaches you also how to critically evaluate the information that you get from an AI tool to make sure that you go away with the information that's correct. So it will teach you not only to access information, but also to use the AI tool thoughtfully and ethically. Okay. Because all those things are important. It's not just about the information. It's about the fact that you want it to be correct, you want to be ethical in doing it, and you want it to assist you in whatever task that you're doing.
Wow, that is amazing. And speaking of ethical use of AI, we've seen a lot of people complaining. I think that is why maybe high institutions have... I don't want to use it that much, because now students sometimes use AI to do their assignments.
Yeah.
So maybe in your course, is there a way where you try to counter that to make sure that they use it for the right reasons?
Yeah. First of all, by the way, if you have that kind of a problem as a lecturer, you've got to know that you're still teaching and assessing in the old way.
Okay.
Because the world has changed. So actually, More than ever before, academics need to ask themselves, what is it that I'm teaching? Why am I teaching it? How am I teaching it? And why am I teaching it that way? How am I assessing? And why am I assessing that way? If you don't, then students will always cheat and so on, right? So that's the point. Secondly, let me say to you, there are forward-thinking universities. I have to say to you, UJ is leading in this regard. UJ has changed. They've changed their rules. Students now, they've introduced a way in which students should indicate that they used AI. So they are not saying to students, don't use it. They are not saying to students, we are going to expel you. They are showing students how to acknowledge that they've used AI. And I think that's the way to go. But more than that, the lecturers have to rethink how they teach, what they teach, how they assess and what they assess. Because the old ways don't work anymore. The students that you are teaching who'll be graduating are going to go into the world of work. In the world of work, they use AI. Now, if you say they shouldn't use AI, you are disadvantaging them because they are going to compete with the students from UJ who are fluent in AI and your students have been told never to use it. Do you think we're going to hire them? No, we're not. You know, so we've got to teach students how to use this. I have a student, I run a mentorship program and there are students that are mentoring on the program and some of them are doing PhDs and master's programs. And first of all, as an academic, I can tell when a student didn't write the thing themselves. And by the way, it's not like I'm not their full-time supervisor. I'm not their supervisor. I'm just their mentor.
Yes.
And I can see. And rather than punishing them, I say to them, tell me which tool did you use? I don't say, why did you use the tool? I'm like, tell me what tool did you use? Then I say, what prompt did you give it? And then I said to the student, I was having a meeting with the student last Friday, and I said to her, she's doing a PhD, and I said to her, I am missing you and your insights in this essay. I'm missing your insights. I can see that you've got correct information because it comes from an AI tool. But your insights are missing. I can see that your insights are missing. Tell me your insights. And then she tells me her insights. And I said to her, so why didn't you include them? No, it's too seductive. AI is too seductive. And so she got stuck in it. And I said to her, there's nothing wrong in using it. Own up. I want you to write, I said to her, write me a one page. Okay, every time you use AI, write a one page to say, which one did you use? What prompts did you ask it? What information surprised you? What information did you expect? But I said, beyond that, if you're doing a PhD, isn't it better actually to ask your AI tool to get you the 10 top cited papers in your area of research? It must give you a list of the 10 most impactful research papers in your area. That's a much wiser way to use the AI tool because it will give you the papers. And then you can say, give me the abstracts of the papers. Then you read the abstracts and then you can click and get to the whole paper. And I said to her, you read the papers. But what the AI tool has done for you, it's almost like I sent an assistant to the library and said, go and find me the top 10 cited research papers in this area of study. You have a research assistant who you are not paying for. In the past, when I was doing a PhD, you did that yourself. You went to the library yourself and looked for that. Or you'd have to hire a research assistant. Now, you can have an AI tool that gets the resources. And I said to her, you want to read the top 10 most impactful papers in your area of study so that you have them here. All right. Because if you don't, if you just say, write me a proposal in this area, the ChatGPT or any other tool will write the proposal for you, but they might miss important papers in your area of study. Okay. And then you submit the proposal and the examiner may say, this work is incomplete because you are not citing Pakeng, who's a leading scholar in this area. Whereas you could have asked your ChatGPT or Perplexity or whoever you use and say, give me the top 10 impactful research papers in this area. Then you won't miss anybody. Okay. And you don't have to ask one tool, by the way. Like, I'm a professor. I've got on my phone, I've got a group of AI tools. And, you know, I group them and I call them my besties. Okay? These are my besties that I go to them for different reasons. Sometimes when I want, I'm not a full-time academic anymore, but I want to keep up in my area of study.
Yes.
Every month I get onto them and I give them all, I give five of them the same question. I say, give me the papers in this area that were published in the last month. I asked Claude, I asked Gemini, I asked Copilot, I asked ChatGPT, I asked DeepSeek. And then I see what they've given me. I can compare them. If I see one that's coming in three and Grok is not giving, I ask Grok, why are you not giving me this? What's wrong? And Grok will give me his reasons. Why then? Sometimes, oftentimes, Grok apologizes. I'm so sorry I missed that reference. Can you see what I mean?
Yes.
Because I'm not relying on one. If you rely on one, you can't even tell whether they've missed something or not. I'm a professor and I do that. So now, because I'm very busy, they tell me which papers have been published in the last month. I look at them. Then I just click. I get the paper. I read the papers. I spend my Fridays reading the papers to keep up with the work in my area of study. And that's it. Next month, I ask them again. Give me another the top papers that have been published in this area of study in the last month. And they do that. So you've got to find ways of you. These are assistants. I don't have to hire a research assistant. I can have an assistant who's AI, just like you can have an assistant who does your emails, your AI assistant that does emails. And the reason why companies want to hire people who have fluency in AI is because they do more with less time, which means they save the company money and they make the company money. Do you think you're going to get a job if you're not AI fluent? Forget it. Let me tell you something. And if you have a job and you are not fluent in AI, then you must know that AI is not going to take your job. But in fact, a human being who uses AI is definitely going to take your job.
Wow.
It's just as simple as that. And here we are offering it to you for free. You can get this knowledge for free. You don't have to pay. Until Thursday, though. After Thursday, the free offer of registering ends. We don't know how much you're going to pay.
That is amazing, Prof. Just before we let you go, maybe tell us maybe again of how people can get involved in your online course.
So you can go to my social media pages. There's a link or a QR code. Just scan it. If you don't know my social media pages, where have you been? Under which rock have you been? You've got to get on with the program at Fab Academic. You can't be anyone on any university has got to be on my social media pages because that's where you get in the know. Okay.
Yes.
And if you are not on my social media pages or you are there already, also get on my YouTube channel at Fab Academic Unfiltered.
Yes.
The link is there. It's currently there. On my Instagram stories, on my Facebook stories, I've got a WhatsApp channel, it's on my WhatsApp channels. So you get a link. You just click there, and you'll get a registration form. You just say where it says reference. You just say Prof Pakeng, and you register for the course. So it's that easy. But of course. What MUT Radio is going to do is going to put the QR code on their YouTube channel as well so that you can get it for easy.
Yes, definitely. Thank you very much, Prof. Pakeng. That was Prof. Pakeng joining us on MUT Radio, who is the former Vice Chancellor and Principal of UCT, joining us live on MUT Radio. Thank you very much, Prof.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a blast. I walked around on your campus.
Yes.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. I've been here before, by the way. I got an award from your university maybe 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so that was the last time I was on campus. So it's been amazing to be back on campus.
Yeah, there's been a huge transformation.
There's been a huge transformation. And interacting with students has been great. So thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you very much. Yes, thank you very much, Prof. When we come back, we're getting in touch with the Hangout team. They're going to tell us what is happening.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.